This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden and some Western leaders issued a confrontational declaration about Russia and Chinese government behavior on Sunday's closing session of the G7 summit. The group is calling out Beijing over its internal repression, vowing to investigate the pandemic's origins, and shame Moscow for using nerve agents against people and cyber weapons. The Chinese government responded saying, "The days when global decisions were directed by a small group of countries are long gone." End quote. After 12 years and three U.S. presidents, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been replaced by the Knesset in a very slim victory. Naftali Bennett will take his place. She's a priest, and when Reverend Pamela Conrad looks into the heavens, she's really looking into the heavens. By night, Conrad moonlights as a research scientist as a member of the tactical operations team for the Mars Perseverance rover mission. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
A 25-year-old man died Sunday of injuries sustained in a shooting that wounded 13 other people in downtown Austin, Texas on Saturday. Austin police named victim Douglas John Cantor. A Massachusetts high school graduate found a better cause for her scholarship money. Brad Bernards with the West Texas USA Radio News Bureau report.
Verda Tetta earned a standing ovation as the class speaker at her Massachusetts high school graduation. But what she did next had the crowd in awe.
I am so very grateful for this, but I also know that I am not the one who needs this the most.
The Fitchburg High School student, who will be attending Harvard College in the fall on a full scholarship, won an additional $40,000 scholarship from her high school at last week's graduation ceremony. She could have used the scholarship for expenses, but instead, the 17-year-old gave it away shortly after it was awarded.
Fitchburg High School is about an hour's drive west of Boston. USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
President Biden struggled during a press conference at the G7 summit Sunday, mixing up Libya and Syria not once but three times while discussing humanitarian aid to countries torn apart by civil war.
We could work together with Russia, for example, in Libya. We should be opening up the passes to be able to go through and provide food assistance and economic assistance. Vital assistance to a population that's in real trouble. I think I'm going to try very much hard to. And by the way, there's places where I shouldn't be starting off and negotiating in public here, but let me say it this way. Russia has engaged in activities which we believe are contrary to international norms, but they have also bitten off some real problems they're going to have trouble chewing on. And, for example, the rebuilding of Syria, of Libya, of, you know, this is, they're there. And as long as they're there without the ability to bring about some order in the region, and you can't do that very well without providing for the basic economic needs of people. So I'm hopeful.
China released a statement saying the days of global decisions being made by a small number of countries is over. I'm Lance Pry. This is USA Radio News.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I'll tell you, after hearing some of the comments from the president, it's almost like what they discovered, in Mexico and also in Guatemala, that the problem starts in the Oval Office. Hey, welcome back. I'm Bill Martinez. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. And it's great to have Phil Hotzenpiller, founder, president of American Faith, senior pastor of Influence Church in Anaheim Hills, California. Phil, how are we doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. We just had a big rally yesterday at our church. Glad, good to see Americans out waving flags and celebrating freedom.
Flag Day. So, and Flag Day, right?
Yeah, it was. We had Lee Dundas and the Street Fighter tour, and so it was a last minute thing. Lee called me and said, "Can we do this?" We had a cancellation, and that was Thursday night, and I said, "We have time to promote this." And I don't know, we probably had 1,000 people show up. Bringing their own blankets and chairs. How about that one?
Well, hey, why not? I mean, American patriotism is far from dead. Not every school, in fact, a little bit later on, we're going to play a Pledge of Allegiance from some kids. Not all schools have decided not to say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore, as compared to when you and I were growing up. That's what opened the day, was the Pledge of Allegiance. It was honoring our flag and patriotism, our country. Today, that seems to be a rare deal. They want to be more focused on critical race theory, which is most amazing, and we're going to unravel that in just a bit. But American patriotism, though, you know, people would like to stuff it in a box and ignore it, it's organic. I mean, it's still prevalent, Phil.
Oh, it is. Yeah, you don't undo, you know, hundreds of years of history of America and patriotism because you change leadership at the top.
Right. Well, and how do you ignore the fact that maybe you've got family members that paid the ultimate sacrifice for the red, white, and blue and all that the red, white, and blue represents, and you're supposed to just kind of stuff that and say, forget it? I don't think so. And especially for those that have served in the military. Sadly, it's, we're about 1% today, and I think that's a loss for everybody, especially the citizens of this country, when you don't have skin in the game. And you haven't participated, because when, you know, they come against people who have served in the military, like myself and your family members and that, we respect the flag. I mean, the flag is, that's like coming after one of our family members, our mother, our father or something. So excuse me if I get upset that even if I go to an athletic event, a hockey game or a baseball game, and the baseball players aren't respecting and standing still, much less the audience moving around because they, you know, somehow their Diet Coke is more important than a moment of repose before our flag.
Mm-hmm. you know, I thought was really interesting. Out in the crowd, there were some people that had just small flags, you know, like on a 1 foot stick, and they were waving them. And our lead pastor, Pastor Nate, was he had his little boy River there, and River's about five. And out of everything that was happening there, and there was everything happening. The one thing he noticed was, he said, "Pastor Phil, look at those flags. I wish I had some of those flags to wave." Mm-hmm. And I thought, how to hear it from the mouth of babes, so to speak.
Yes, exactly.
That he was celebrating. He recognized the flag, and he wanted to participate. He wanted to be a part of that experience. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and I was thinking, you know, today being Flag Day, which is always on June the 14th, as opposed to some other holidays, and this isn't an official federal holiday, which is kind of amazing, but I doubt that will happen anymore, because there seems to be such an offense, you know, with the flag. I mean, you got the New York Times editorial board member, I think it was last week, was really offended, because when she went to Long Island, I guess she doesn't get out of Manhattan very often, but got out of Manhattan, goes to, I think it was either Long Island, I think it's where she went to, and saw American flags, and it really bothered her. And what she wanted to consider was, in her own worldview, Phil, she sees the American flag with white supremacy. I mean, how do you make that leap?
Yeah, right. I don't know. And I think it reaches back to President Woodrow Wilson, if I remember right. Which would be about early 1900s, Flag Day, you know, adopted by Congress as an emblem of the Union. Mm-hmm. So it was adopted. It wasn't made an official holiday, but it was adopted as an official day, but not a national holiday. I think that's the difference. If I'm correct on that, Bill, my history may be off a bit.
Just a little bit. I think it was 1877, about 100 years after, you know, we went through the Revolution, we became a country. People settled on, on the importance of the flag and what the design of the flag was going to be. Well, that was done during the Revolutionary War to kind of congeal and bring people together, which was a brilliant move. But it was around 1885, according to this piece that I'm reading, and it started with a school teacher by the name of Bernard Segrand, encouraged the students to reflect on the symbolism behind the American flag. Could you imagine that? I don't think reflecting on the symbolism of the American flag would be part of critical race theory today.
No, I think you're exactly right. In critical race theory, you know, if people knew their history, they would know, you know, the origin of it is certainly not anything that comes out of good thinking. It really comes out of we can probably trace it back to Hegel in Germany. It's and the whole idea of man being somehow not capable of handling life himself. You know, Yuri Vizmanov, an ex-KGB guy, he talked about stages of ideological subversion. He actually, you know, left the Soviet Union and sought asylum, I believe, in Canada originally. But he said four things. He said there's four things that are necessary if you're going to change the ideology of a nation, and you have to demoralize that nation, that is, educate them on Marxist theology, destabilize them, that means your economy, their foreign relations, and their defense system. You have to create a crisis, and that means a violent change of power or structure in the economy, and then you come back to normalization. Now people adjust to it, and now you've got the country. Well, I don't know about you, but I feel like those top three have been happening.
Oh, without a doubt.
The last, you know, 14, 15 months.
Right. And if you think not, the cap on all that is, watch what the president, how he's performing overseas right now with the G7 and the NATO countries, the things that he's saying. I mean, this is exactly what you're talking about, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, I think one interview, I just saw a clip of it, but he was asked a fair question by a reporter, and he said, "I've only been in office 120 days. You know, don't expect too much of me." And then walk off the stage. I'm thinking, what? What just happened here? This is bizarre.
Well, this is his whole administration and everything. It is bizarro world. And this is what lends more credence in why more and more Americans, you know, are just saying, "Hey, look, I'm not going to shut up about this 2020 election. I don't have the facts. We still have more questions, and nobody seems to be concerned about it. And meanwhile, we have two incompetent leaders in the president and vice president continuing to represent incompetency, and I guess we're just supposed to shrug and go along with it until, you know, all this stuff ferrets itself out, and we're on the road to the yellow brick road to Marxism, I guess, and that'll settle things once and for all. We've got more from Phil Hotzenpiller after this. Stay with us.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. The VA is working closely with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and with other federal partners to provide COVID-19 vaccines as quickly and safely as they can. The VA knows that you have lots of questions and information is changing so fast, so please check back to the VA.gov website for updates, and they will continue to update the website on a regular basis to give you the latest information. If you find yourself not enrolled in the VA, but you need a COVID-19 vaccine, then go to the VA.gov and locate the nearest VA facility to you so you can reach out and find out how you can schedule your vaccine shots. If you happen to be not only a veteran, but a spouse of a veteran or caregiver or a CHAMP VA recipient, the VA will contact you and let you know when your vaccine shot will be ready. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. This is Dan Perkins, and thanks for listening.
I'll tell Phil Hotzenpiller, you know, when you hear that, this is the voices of young kids sang the Pledge of Allegiance that we do not hear with universality like we did when we were kids growing up. But I can't help but smile every time I hear the Pledge of Allegiance. There's just something so special that brings us together. It's not a Republican thing. It's not a Democratic thing. It's an American thing. It professes our Pledge of Allegiance, our, and that's very powerful, I believe.
Oh, extremely powerful and uniting.
Yes.
And that's the other thing. You know, it gives you, you might disagree on religion, you might disagree on politics, but you should not disagree on the value and the existence of a nation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's being challenged here. We are plurality of nations here, and I mean of people, but we shouldn't be divided on the fact that we exist.
Right.
You know, and that we have a value and importance in the nation.
Well, something like that 30 seconds of verbiage that really congeals very succinctly the vision of our country and what we're about. And I think this is what threatens people today who want to destroy the very fibers, the woof and warf of America.
Oh, yeah, great. And I have not heard anyone use that phrase in forever, Bill, the woof and the warf. Bill, where did you pull that one from? I know exactly what it is, but I have just not heard it. In a million years.
Well, because you inspire me. You know, it's just I don't know. It's just it comes out of me. This is what happens when you're Hispanic. The language flow comes from all kinds of different directions. And oh, by the way, I need to apologize. You were exactly right. It was Woodrow Wilson on May 30th, 1916, established National Flag Day on June the 14th, and it was President Harry Truman who signed legislation in 49. Proclaiming Flag Day as a national holiday, although it was never considered an official federal holiday, which is surprising because the feds, whenever they can get a holiday, I can't believe they let that one slip through the cracks there.
Well, you know, May 30th was the original Memorial Day, and then it was changed to move to take advantage of the weekends for the Monday. Now, let me give you a little insider how I know some of this is because my birthday is on May 30th, so I grew up in a military family with Memorial Day being at the forefront and being born on that day. It kind of all worked together, so I had a little inside information.
So is that why your dad always wanted to string you up on the flagpole on May 30th to honor your birthday?
He pretty well had to do it every day. I asked my mom one time, I said, did you have to whip me very often? She said daily, and it probably wasn't enough. So, you know, I always appreciated a good whipping. You know, that's not kosher today, but I certainly needed it. He needed to shape my character a bit. So he did.
Well, he did you well by that. There's no doubt. And I'm sure Tammy appreciates that as well.
Hey, can I say this? He shaped me from the bottom up.
Yeah. I tell you, for those of us that the rod was not spared upon, and I was right with you on that, because when my dad went to the closet, and for him, it wasn't a rod, it was his baseball belt. And his baseball belt was of, a thick piece of leather. And, and just the drama of him heading to the closet and opening up his bag to get his baseball pants to where he could remove the belt. I mean, it was, you could hear the music build up and the drama of, get ready, let the beatings begin. Well, not it was beatings, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, and here's the thing. Here's what I appreciated. You know, these were bragging rights. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you went to school, you could tell everybody about the whipping you got, and there was always some boy that had a better one. Said, "Oh, that's nothing. Let me tell you what my dad did."
So, exactly.
You know, it's kind of a different day now. Now you go, what did your dad do? You know, well, he didn't let me drive his new car today. I mean, that was my punishment. I mean, in the old days, you kind of learned something a little different angle.
Yeah, exactly.
Altogether.
Yeah, and today, in lieu of that, we now want a hijacking of our classrooms to be taken over by a theory, for goodness sakes, Phil.
Yeah, and it's kind of an interesting and nobody really studies this stuff. You know, it's kind of like everybody adopted Black Lives Matter, they never read their doctrine.
Right.
Then they go back and they go, huh. But let me tell you a couple of things that I think are interesting. Critical race theory is also known as critical economic. It's a theory. It's also known as critical social theory. If you really go back and study this, political theory, and then critical race theory. And I think just to hit the highlights, you know, for your listeners is that, you know, what's point one? Point one is there's victims and oppressors. If you're white, you're an oppressor. You know, it undermines a country's patriotism by pitting groups against each other. It organizes victims to protest and riot, therefore escalating it into violence, right? Mm-hmm. It works on threats or bribes or collusion with the media. These are just common things that happen. Mm-hmm. When a nation is confused and destabilized enough, there's a rigged election. This is what happens with critical race worldwide. And then citizens are finally normalized. And what they say is, okay, now that you've adjusted to this new way of looking at life, you have less freedom, and totalitarianism begins to raise its head more and more into the fabric of a country. This is basically what critical race does.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll tell you, the resistance is coming on. I mean, look what's happening in these school districts where, you know, CRT is being thrust. You got parents taking over school boards going, nah, we're not going to have any of this. And as our good friend Dr. Wilfred Riley, the professor out of Kentucky, you know, he says the first question to ask is, do you have any evidence where critical race theory has proven effective?
There you go.
I mean, and that's a powerful question. Opening, I mean, give me some background, you know, that says that this works. It's like Bidenomics, you know. Show me where that works. Show me where you choose to no longer be energy independent, and somehow that works out brilliantly on the other side for the constituents.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
you know, and I think the answer is, you know, we don't have evidence of it. We have evidence of failed critical race theory. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could just go to Nazi Germany. That was critical race. I mean, that's kind of the way they approached it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, so, another question you had, Phil, you'd appreciate this one. Can you clearly define the problem you're trying to solve so I can help with the process?
That's good.
This is the problem, see, because so often what happens with totalitarianism, it's all driven by emotion. And so it can't handle debate. It can't handle a discussion, because when you ask a basic critical question like, show me where that's worked, or can you explain exactly what your vision is so that I can help and I can be part of the solution, all you do is get more emotion. And then what happens, it leads to frustration. And then when it gets so frustrating for them, they just cancel you.
Mm. There you go. Well, and you know, that's the thing. The first thing that has to go is the word critical. Mm-hmm. is actually the idea that Hegel came up with, and it was the word critique.
Mm-hmm.
And it got translated from the German into the word critical. So it was the idea of the critique of the way we look at man and society. And so if you go back, it's changing the way that we reason. So Hegel's whole perspective was, there's not black or white anymore in terms of truth. There's only gray.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is no absolute truth, then anything and everything is viable and optional for our consideration. And that's mm-hmm. what we're working with here, to your very point of define it. You know,
right.
Debate it, discuss.
Exactly.
Oh no, that's not a part of what we do. We don't mm-hmm. do that.
Right. And who's the arbiter? Even in the gray area, who decides what is the right answer? You know, and of course that's being demonstrated in Congress today, when you have this outrage over Ilhan Omar, and of course the big arbiter of what is right and righteous is Nancy Pelosi herself. Says that's it. For end of discussion.
Well, I'm satisfied. How about you? Pelosi said it. I mean, I'm thrilled to know that, you know, she's got it all under control, because now I can sleep at night.
Exactly.
This is sponsored by Sage Therapeutics Incorporated. Postpartum depression, or PPD, is a mood disorder that can affect women during and after childbirth. Unlike the baby blues, which typically last for a few days or 1 to 2 weeks, PPD persists with symptoms including sadness, tearfulness or hopelessness, outbursts or irritability, worrying or feeling overly anxious, oversleeping or being unable to sleep, feelings of worthlessness or guilt, trouble bonding, bonding with the baby or thoughts of harming oneself or the baby. A new research study called Skylark is now evaluating an investigational oral medication in PPD, and the study is seeking moms experiencing symptoms of postpartum depression. Dr. Judith Joseph, MD, MBA, and Teresa Escobar say,
about 1 in 8 mothers in the U.S. have symptoms of PPD, and it can affect not only the mother, but also the whole family.
The Skylark clinical trial is studying a potential medicine for women with PPD.
For more information about the study and to see if you or a loved one might be eligible, visit www.skylarkppdstudy.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden and some Western leaders issued a confrontational declaration about Russia and Chinese government behavior on Sunday's closing session of the G7 summit. The group is calling out Beijing over its internal repression, vowing to investigate the pandemic's origins, and shame Moscow for using nerve agents against people and cyber weapons. The Chinese government responded saying, "The days when global decisions were directed by a small group of countries are long gone." End quote. After 12 years and 3 U.S. presidents, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been replaced by the Knesset in a very slim victory. Naftali Bennett will take his place. She's a priest, and when Reverend Pamela Conrad looks into the heavens, she's really looking into the heavens. By night, Conrad moonlights as a research scientist as a member of the tactical operations team for the Mars Perseverance rover mission. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813. Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Okay, being a West Coast kind of guy, born and raised in California, there was just something about New York and New York City. There was a lure for me. In fact, at one point in my life, I had an opportunity for a job offer at WNBC TV, and I thought I was going to go there. Things happened that I didn't, ended up staying in California. And, you know, but still, New York called out for me, and I would visit regularly, especially around the holidays. And being the theater buff that I am, I'd be there for 7 days and catch at least 10 plays, because I found myself living in the theater because I just love the theater so much. But what we have seen happen to New York in the last year and a half is so heartbreaking. You know, for those of us who love New York from the outside looking in, but when you pause for a moment and consider what it must be for New Yorkers and how this has challenged their very spirit. I mean, and I thought about this the other day, and I may have mentioned it to you, that, you know, New York has always been, you know, represented as having such a strong backbone and a resistance and just a hotbed for freedom and liberties. And to see what has happened to Manhattan, especially, but throughout New York, because of the leadership, some would say the lack of leadership in the city and in the state, is beyond heartbreaking. Well, there is a new documentary out. It's called This is New York. It's a new documentary series from a local New York City resident. His name is Matthew Taylor, and he joins us now. Matthew, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here today.
Well, you know, for you as an insider to see millions of people fleeing New York, I mean, me, I live in the East Coast. I live in Florida. So we're getting a lot of New Yorkers coming down into Florida. But previously I was in California and I saw a mass exodus out of California that's been going on, you know, the truth be known, for decades because of the leadership there. and to see what is happening and how this must affect you and others, other New Yorkers, who just have a very special quality and pride of ownership, to see how devastated the city has become is quite shocking. And you document it, and you document this with your documentary series.
Absolutely. You know, it's we set out to talk to the people who knew the most about New York, and that's New Yorkers themselves. Mm-hmm. We traveled to all five boroughs. You know, we went to South Bronx, we went to Brownsville, went to Staten Island, went to various neighborhoods and talked to business owners, mothers, fathers, emergency workers, first responders, to get really a flavor of how they feel the city is developing. And there is kind of a feeling that, you know, the city is reverting to a previous time. My mother worked in the city in the late 80s and early 90s. I haven't seen that much graffiti in the city since 1990. Yes. And so there's a real fear and an uncertainty, which is, you know, in these times, is very concerning for New Yorkers.
Exactly. Well, and as you say, it is a, in a sense, a reformation of New York, but in the wrong direction. I mean, you've got an increase in shootings. You know, crime has gone up exponentially. And, of course, we can see, a causal event when this defund police came into play and the mayor took 600 plainclothes policemen off the street. I mean, immediately the people that know better said, look, this is going to bring the guns out of the apartments, out of the homes. It's going to bring them back on the streets. And sure enough, this is exactly what happened. But you would think that, you know, that the people should know better, that leadership should know better. But somehow they're deluding themselves to thinking in the same way, you know, California the same way. I mean, let's forget about any kind of bail bonds reform. You know, let's just go ahead and let people commit crimes like that one gentleman that he's been arrested 40 times. And he's the one that about knocked the head off of that Asian gal just walking down the street minding her own business. And it's all chalked up to, you know, some sort of mental condition. I don't care, mental condition, whatever you chalk it up to, is people in New York and anybody in any city of this country wants to live and enjoy, you know, peace and liberty, do they not?
Absolutely. And look, you know, what's interesting is that the dangerous New York of the past has become a myth to the people who live there now. So if you have moved there in the last 10, 15, even 20 years, you know, you have lived in a New York City that is wonderful. It was the safest major city in America. It had one of the lowest crime rates per capita in America. You know, you could go out at 4 a.m. and ride the subway and you would be fine. And so there is a group of people there, and it's a large number of citizens who just have never lived in that era. So they're unprepared for this kind of New York City, especially after being in their apartments for a year.
Exactly.
The city has been taken for granted. The safety has been taken for granted. The trash has been taken for granted. Everyone assumed it's nice and safe, and it's just going to stay that way. New York has a longer history of violence, dirtiness, and sadness.
Exactly.
Than not.
Mm-hmm. Now, you went to all five boroughs. Was there a consistent response from the people that you spoke with?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the number one thing on people's minds is safety. Mm-hmm. New York City's foundation for functioning, 8.5 million people over 300 square miles, is safety. If there's no safety, there's no business, there's no commerce, there's no going to school, there's no nothing. And so safety is number one. Quality of life is number two. It's expensive. The taxes are high. It's punishing to live in the city. And so I think the thing is that people are fleeing for places where they can raise their kids or just work, you know, in a safe environment. Just get to work. Just take
exactly.
The subway. It's a wonderful, amazing thing. And it should be safe for its citizens because it has been safe for its citizens. This has been proven over the last 20-some-odd years, almost 30 years.
Right. Matt, you know, this is a common sense deal. You know, people just want to live in peace and provide for their family and be able to go to and fro and, you know, be able to feel like, you know, they're not putting their life at risk just by stepping outside the front door. And so, as you say, there's a number of New Yorkers that haven't experienced this situation. They came post the broken windows effect that Giuliani had put into place and really turned the city around. And that was able to carry through until de Blasio came into place. And more recently, in the last few years, exacerbated by COVID, where it's just gone, you know, liberal on steroids to such a degree that common sense has left the building.
Absolutely. I mean, again, it's one of those things where if you take these things for granted, mm-hmm. you will implement policies that basically remove the safeguards that keep the city balanced. You know, and again, because people are not aware, they think, oh, it's no big deal. If you change these policies, and these are really infrastructure policies, and not infrastructure as in physical infrastructure, but the infrastructure of how the city functions politically and economically. And if you remove those safeguards, it can cause damage. A city could go into a 10, 20, 30 year downturn. Because, look, people just don't have to work in buildings anymore. People mm-hmm. can work remotely, and people are leaving. It's like the Koch years again.
Yes, exactly. Do people see this as a political problem or something else, Matt?
You know, I think a lot of New Yorkers are just trying to survive. And so what's great about New Yorkers is they are very resilient adversity. And I think they want something very straightforward. Clean up the city, make it safe like it was just 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot to ask, and it clearly can be done because the benchmark was set when it was said it couldn't be set.
Yeah. The reason I bring up the political question, Matt, is New Yorkers are really common sense, bottom line type people. It's been my experience. And I think most of the country is, you know, they're numb over all this political conversation and worn out by it. They just want something that works. And but unfortunately, the political filter is heavy on everything. And they may have to come to reconcile that and realize they've got a fight on their hands and they've got to really push back if they're going to get their city back. Congratulations on the documentary. Real quick, where can they go for more information?
They can go to YouTube.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Okay, 3 dozen by tomorrow morning. Yep, the roses.
Faraz's flower shop is blooming. To keep up with high demand, he must strengthen his business's roots.
Just 1 second. Faraz's flowers, hold please. Hi, how are you doing? Welcome to Faraz's.
Indeed can help him hire the people he needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
Yeah. Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't have worried. I trust your taste in limited. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, welcome back. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us. It's also good to have Paul Essay from PluggedIn.com. Hey, Paul, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing good. How are you doing?
Hey, doing terrific. Thanks for stepping in the big shoes of Adam Holtz, who had to go deal with the dentist. And, hey, there you are, Johnny on the spot to, you know, fill in and flow with the need. So I appreciate the time, buddy. Hey, we're going to talk some movies. Hey, have you had a chance to view that it's a cute movie called 12 Mighty? I say cute. It's a true story, actually. 12 Mighty Orphans. Have you had a chance to see that yet?
We haven't yet. We're going to be reviewing that actually this week. So,
okay.
But we haven't laid eyes on it yet, but I've heard it is charming.
Yeah, it is. 12 Mighty Orphans, it tells the true story of the Mighty Mites, the football team, of a Fort Worth orphanage who during the Great Depression went from playing without shoes or even a football to playing for the Texas State Championship. You love those zero to hero type movies, and here you are, orphans who are mistreated, the less thans, and especially in a culture today, orphans have been routinely canceled, throughout their existence, and here you see the demonstration of it even more so, but which often finds the case is when people are canceled and able to, as the Bible says, having done all to stand, you keep standing. You're surprised that maybe and others are surprised at the outcome. And this is the case here for this touching movie, 12 Mighty Orphans, which I understand has already been released in Texas. And it goes nationwide this Friday on the 18th. And we hope to be talking with the director, Ty Roberts, a little later on this week as well. So I just wanted to bring that up, and I'm glad that you guys are going to be reviewing it because, like I said, it is a sweet movie about these kids are orphans, and that, like everything, has a leader, a champion who believes in them, that, runs against the traditions of an organization, of an institution. This is, what are you doing? You can't think any better of these. These are orphans, we're just trying to get them, through the institution so they're somebody else's problem and they're no longer our problem, right?
Yeah, it is interesting, actually, because this would be the second movie about orphans that really speaks to that point that we've seen. Mm-hmm. Even this month, I don't know if you and Adam had a chance to talk about Blue Miracle on Netflix, but it's much the same story.
Mm-hmm.
These orphans get together with a grizzled old fisherman and compete in the big Super Bowl of fishing, oddly enough. So it's not football, but it is fishing.
Right.
And, of course, they end up winning the thing. And like 12 Mighty Orphans, it's based on a true story. It was one of the surprises that I came across, actually, on Netflix. It was a really charming story starring Dennis Quaid. It was just very sweet, very inspirational, and worth a look, I think, if you have Netflix.
Yeah. Don't you love that when you come against, you know, or come across, you know, jewels like that, and especially in these days, because, you know, we're having to go and rely more on streaming. And I gotta tell you, Paul, I'm just overwhelmed. It's like, where do I look? What do I? And every once in a while, you find something, and you think, wow, this is great, and this is where Plugged In, you know, comes in handy, because you've done a lot of the research and you've given us a review to begin with. But like you say, you'll find some charming instances on yourself. It's also a good reason to send and drop a note to Paul and to Adam, say, hey, check this one out. I didn't see this on the site, but you guys might want to. You might want to review this. This was really, you know, consequential in our family discussions, especially in light of, you know, what's coming on. Now, I know that Adam and I did talk about the girl who believes in miracles. And last week I had an opportunity to interview Larry Jaffe. And Larry's got an interesting story. He's a 90-year-old guy. Okay. He's Jewish. He's Jewish, no less. I mean, it almost sounds like one of those barroom jokes. You know, here he walks in, a 98-year-old guy, he's Jewish. And he does a Christian movie. And, you know, a Christian movie about this little girl who doesn't know better. She's in church. And the pastor says, well, look at it. If you have the faith of a mustard seed. I mean, how many times have we heard this, you know, growing up or even as an adult, and you read that? Well, if you have faith as large as a mustard seed, you know, that you can move mountains. And I got to tell you, that has always personally challenged me. And this little girl doesn't know better. And in the movie, she takes God for his word, and miracles start happening around the community. And what miracles do, it affects its intended purpose, and that is that they're about drawing people closer to God, not to the person. Because even with Jesus, when Jesus was doing all his miracles, Paul, it's not about me. I don't want you to, this isn't about my glory, it's about the Father's glory. This is to draw you to the source, right?
Right, absolutely. You know, and it's interesting. I had a chance to work on a book with a guy named Jason Brown. He was an old NFL center, actually, one of the highest paid centers in the league. He left to begin a farm. He went to start farming.
Yes.
He dropped out of the NFL to do that. And as I was talking with him, one of the things that I kept thinking about over and over again is that here is a man who actually allowed miracles to happen in his life. And I think sometimes when we, you know, obviously we live in the United States, most of us are very well off. And I think that even those of us who believe in God, who call ourselves Christians, we want God to work in our lives, but sometimes we don't always give him a chance to do those miracles in our lives. You know, we sort of hedge our bets a lot of times, I think. And sometimes, that can, because we don't necessarily trust as much as we should, sometimes those miracles just don't come along, I think. And that was one of the things that I learned from this guy that I was writing.
And sometimes, Paul, I think people, in their own way, somehow don't think that they deserve the love of the Father. You know, and here we are, you know, Father's Day just around the corner. I alluded to that a moment ago. And Jesus even said when they, you know, people referred to him as Father, he says, there's only one Father, and that's the Father in heaven. And so he deflected again that glory to God the Father, and that we should not call anybody Father, but the Father who is in heaven. And maybe, you know, as we approach Father's Day, for those of us who are so blessed and had the greatest fathers ever, that reflected the face of God. I often said that about my dad. In fact, at his funeral in the eulogy, I said the one thing about my dad, what you know, if there was ever this reflection of the face of God, I saw it in my father's face, in his humility, the way he raised nine kids, and just as in his heart toward his fellow man. And he's a World War II veteran. My audience knows of that. He was a medic in World War II in the European theater with General Patton at the Battle of the Bulge. And I think of the experiences, which he didn't share, which was typical of a lot of World War II vets. He did not share a lot of his personal experiences. But you have to imagine, as a medic, you know, I've thought, gosh, I wonder how many men or women that his face was the last face that they saw before they passed on.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And maybe that ties in. Maybe that ties in, you know, the realization that having this sense of the face of God and seeing that in my father's face, you know. I don't know.
That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. You know, and I do think that those of us who have been blessed with good fathers, we know what kind of blessing it is.
Yes.
But as you say, I think that sometimes we can lose sight that the real father is up in heaven. And hopefully, you know, if we call ourselves Christians, we're all supposed to be reflecting that reality to the people around us, right? Mm-hmm. We're always supposed to be thinking about our fellow man and caring for them as much as possible, just as our heavenly right. father does to us.
And by all means, if your father's fallen short, if there's been, you know, some contention, and in your eyes and your heart, your father, your worldly father has fallen short, I just pray that you would allow the grace of God to cover that as you focus on, you know, your most perfect father in heaven and understand that, hey, look, at whether or not you are a father now or will be in the future, it is a noble and honorable position and an honorable title to be called father. And I guess that's what Jesus is saying, especially when we are God the Father's representation here on earth to our sons and daughters, right?
Yep, absolutely. It's interesting, and I know that we were wanting to talk about movies, but this is just so fascinating to me. I was writing a book with another guy, and one of the things that struck me as we were talking about his father is that his father was fairly demanding. It was not a very good relationship, and he, as I think psychologists could actually tell you, a lot of times how we perceive God is how we perceived our own dads growing up. Mm-hmm. And this guy who I was working with, when I asked him, you know, how do you perceive God? He says, I see him frowning at me. Mm-hmm. And that was an interesting statement, I think.
Yes.
When we are dads, when we have been dads ourselves, sometimes we don't realize the impact that we have just on our kids every day, you know, and it's so important for us to do the best we can to show the love and the grace that our kids need, mm-hmm. you know, not just for their future, but also for their relationship with God himself.
Well, in the same way, in the same context, for those dads that maybe feel like, hey, look, I've blown it. God is in the redeeming business, the miraculous business, and you'd be surprised what God would do if you're just open to his love, his mercy, and his redemption. As his hands are reaching out to all us fathers, the sons and daughters and would-be parents of the future, God's love emanates from his throne room to all of us. Paul, I say thank you as always. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.